a good Sunday morning. It is 9 minutes past 7 o'clock. Happy to have you with us. My name is Susie Jones, Josh Wheeler at the helm. Good morning, Josh. How are you?
I'm staying cool. How are you?
I'm trying to stay cool as well. It's a hot one out there, and we're a health show, so we need to remind people right out of the gate that we are under a heat advisory, and definitely you can feel it out there. A lot of folks out and about yesterday. I was at a number of graduation parties, and by late afternoon, I felt like the earth was on fire.
Our program director here was umping a doubleheader yesterday.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Brad was busy doing his own stuff yesterday. And I was talking to my lovely wife, Sarah. I said, you couldn't pay me enough money to be out yesterday and that long.
It was very hot. Well, we appreciate everybody being with us this morning. Hope everybody is staying cool. As Josh mentioned, we're also keeping our eye on the latest news in the U.S. and the world. The U.S. Has attacked Iran, bombing some key nuclear sites. So we'll continue to follow that story. And if any news needs to get brought to you, we'll break in here and move right into that. But in the meantime, we're actually talking a little bit. We are talking today about conflict, about war. And we're going to talk this hour about post-traumatic stress syndrome, PTSD. We've heard a lot about it. It is the PTSD Awareness Month in June, and there are efforts underway by local veterans to help support people who have PTSD. And so before we kind of jump in, I want to make sure people listening, if they have a question, they can call 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. There certainly is a growing population here in Minnesota that suffers severely. Veterans who have served in wars overseas, according to the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, in 2023, there were 294,000 veterans living in Minnesota, and about 15% report suffering the effects, which can range from having just difficult memories and negative emotions, even thoughts of suicide. So we've invited to the program this morning Vietnam veteran Colonel Wayne Quist and Dr. Steve Lansing. They are co-founders of a nonprofit called Veterans Empowered Incorporated. And we're talking about some free services that are now, in the next couple of weeks, being offered to veterans. And we want to invite them to the program and invite them to be on the air. Let's start with Colonel Quist. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Yes, good morning, Susie. Just fine.
Happy to have you with us.
Thank you very, very much for what you're doing. It's extremely important work, and we can discuss that as we go along in the program.
That's right. We have an hour together here. Again, 651-461-9226, if that is the number, if you want to jump in and ask a question or a comment. Maybe you yourself suffer PTSD. We have also on the line Dr. Steve Lansing. Dr. Lansing, good morning. Thanks for coming on with us.
Good morning, and thanks for doing this. We need awareness to begin everything, and the fact you're allowing us that opportunity, much appreciated.
And Dr. Lansing, how do you come to this? Are you a veteran yourself, or how did you get involved with Colonel Quist?
Well, I spent 2 years in Vietnam, 68 to 70. I'm an Air Force intelligence analyst. Got out. Went underground because back in 1970, it wasn't real popular to be a veteran. And went to college, got a degree, got married. Met a lovely student nurse who was in school the same time as me. Went to graduate school and launched my career as a therapist. But along the way, there was something that was I knew was going on. I didn't know what it was, but there was something. And in 1984, I made a pilgrimage to the Vietnam War Memorial in the middle of a thunderstorm at night. And that's when I started my healing and came back, started working with veterans. In 86, I moved to Rochester to run a suicide crisis line. And one out of three calls I got were from veterans. And I started to, understand more. PTSD wasn't official until 1980, but as our book talks, it's been going on since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
So along the way, a few years ago, Colonel Quist and I connected. He had severe PTSD that was never addressed for over 56 years. And we started working together first as a doctor-patient and then as colleagues putting together Veterans Empowered, and also writing three books now dealing with the issue of PTSD. And as a therapist, I'm a certified trauma therapist, so I work 5 days a week, sometimes more, doing therapy. I see about 20 or so patients a week doing trauma therapy, and then we also do a lot of training and education for people about veterans in general, and then veterans, PTSD, and trauma.
Colonel Quist, how did you come to start to feel the effects of PTSD? Was it right away?
Well, my story goes back, as Steve indicated, over 50 years. And, of course, what's happening over in the Middle East now brings so much of it back to me. I first went into Vietnam in 1965, and our orders at that time were still classified. The war was, the buildup was just beginning. And I had my last mission in Vietnam in 1968, and then began a long career in the Middle East and in the Pentagon. And I first went into Iran in 1977 and was deeply involved during the Iran-Iraq War, when I led our only AWACS into Saudi Arabia in 1980 after the fall of the Shah of Iran and the Ayatollah took over. So all of what's happening today just echoes in my brain.
Does it, Colonel?
4 years ago.
Oh, Colonel Quist, does this bring back some, does this, you know, kind of bring up some of the old bad feelings?
Well, I tell you, it's, the brain is uncanny, and the memories that we retain seem always to be there. And it takes events, sometimes the odor of something, the odor of a dead, decaying body, or any animal, for example. But what happened in my case was, 4 years ago, I was involved in an auto accident, and I was referred to Steve after the accident, and we began meeting every Tuesday at 2, and it was only then that I realized the depth of the issues that had plagued me for over 50 years. I did not tell my commander. I did not tell even my wife, because I thought I was going crazy. And as Steve was able to explain to me, and as I learned, the brain, my brain had been rewired from the trauma I experienced in Vietnam. And during subsequent traumatic incidents in the Middle East, it gets worse. And my coping mechanism was alcohol and writing. And over the course of my Air Force career, and then after I retired, I wrote about a dozen books. I became a workaholic at my computer writing.
Go ahead. No, you go. Finish up your thought.
As I talked to Steve, I began asking questions, because my expertise is history and international relations. And I would ask, what happened to the Greeks and the Romans that we read so much about? Go all the way back to the wars in the Middle East. And over the course of my therapy with Dr. Steve, we amassed a very large library that's in our clinical office. And we wrote together volume one of our trilogy of PTSD books, which we use in therapy in our office in Rochester.
Well, I'm going to have to jump in here. This is time for our first break. It is about 19 minutes past 7 o'clock, 651-461-9226. Maybe you're listening and you yourself have seen combat in your life, and you want to share what your experiences have been, 651-461-9226. We're back with Colonel Wayne Quist and Dr. Steve Lansing talking about PTSD on this Sunday morning. And we are back. It is 7:23 on a Sunday morning. Good morning. I hope you're well. My name is Susie Jones. Josh Wheeler at the helm, and we're talking about PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. It's a phrase, it's a condition that's only recently been sort of talked about, but has been in our society since really the beginning of time. And we're grateful to have with us today on the air Colonel Wayne Quist. He is a Vietnam vet, and Dr. Steve Lansing, also a veteran, and they have a nonprofit called Veterans Empowered Incorporated. And the goal really is to educate and help people, help veterans who are in crisis. I want to ask Dr. Lansing, and I want to invite people to be part of the show. If you're listening and you were in a war, or you have someone who you love was in a battle, please feel free to call us at 651-461-9226. So Dr. Lansing, Colonel Quist sort of went through some of the dates of his own experience and also the beginning of PTSD. Talk a little bit about what it is and how it shows up when someone gets back from battle.
Well, you know, it was mentioned along the lines of what it is that he experienced. And post-traumatic stress disorder, in the latest iteration of the diagnostic manual, the DSM-5, now has its own category of trauma and stress-related disorders. Before that, it was considered an anxiety disorder. But when you go back and you look at it, that, you know, there's an area where, you know, people have flashbacks, nightmares, reoccurring dreams that go on, distressing thoughts, physical signs like sweating and shaking, tremors, easily startled, hypervigilant. You know, when I go into a restaurant, I still don't sit with my back to the door. Difficulty with sleeping, irritability, sometimes engaging in reckless behavior. I was in Vietnam. I was in a number of rock attacks and mortar attacks and things. And, you know, it's the event, not just where the event occurred. And so I'm no longer a big fan of the 4th of July and fireworks. The 4th of July, I like the fireworks, not so much. Smells will trigger, certain sounds, certain recollections. Watching a TV show where there's a mortar attack, and even though it's in a different country, different war, it still triggers some of those same thoughts and feelings. And it goes there because the area of the brain called the hippocampus, which is where the memories are stored, that shrinks. And so memories, past memories, present memories, all kind of blend in together. So what happened 50 years ago or so with Colonel Quist, it's like it happening now. Mm. And that's the issue. If it gets too intense, and our ultimate goal of Vets Empowered is to deal with the issue of veteran suicide, which the official number you hear is 22. I have a bracelet with the number 22 on it. But it's probably more like 40 or 50 because with the stigma, a lot of times suicides don't get reported the way that they actually are.
Mm. Is it something like, so what is going on in your head? I mean, does it just get to be too much to deal with the anxiety that a person gets to that point where they just can't deal with it anymore?
Well, with a flashback, and people sometimes incorrectly think, well, you had a bad memory. With a flashback, it's like you're actually there. And I work not just with veterans. I work with first responders. I work with sexual assault victims. And, you know, I had one lady say, it's like I'm 4 years old again. And it's not just a memory that comes in there. And so what happens with suicide, the amount of pain seems to exceed the perceived ability to manage that pain. And you just get overwhelmed. People that are suicidal are not pro-death, they're negative life. And in that, you know, I don't see any other option as it goes along. With vets, there's also something called moral injury, moral injury is where you're forced to do something or not do something based on orders you're given as a member of the military. You know, you're mission focused, and can be sins of commission. You have to do something that goes against your moral programming that at the time you have no other choice, or sins of omission where you don't get to do something that would have prevented. And that may work at the moment, and you may get busy and covered and everything else, but over time, that memory is still there. Mm-hmm. Your brain is like a hard drive that can never be erased unless it's surgically removed. And so sometimes people, and I'm 78, people my age, or Wayne, who's even older, those things now start coming back, and sometimes with a vengeance. Doesn't have to be that late in life, but sometimes you see that as greater. There's still Vietnam vets that are committing suicide.
Yeah. It is 29 minutes past 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning. We're talking about PTSD as it is PTSD Awareness Month. A number of events coming up throughout the rest of this month at various locations where veterans and their families can go and take part in events and learn more about it and where to go and how to get help. We're going to take our bottom of the hour break and we'll do some weather. Remember, we're under a heat advisory. So we'll get to that and we'll continue our conversation with Colonel Quist and Dr. Lansing right after this on News Talk 830 WCCO. And we are back. It is 7:35. Happy to have you with us on this Sunday morning. Remember, there is a heat advisory out. So if you're going to church this morning, just make sure you take it easy and don't spend too much time outdoors. That's what they're telling us anyway. 651-461-9226. We're talking about PTSD as it is PTSD Awareness Month, and we've invited you to jump in as well. We have a texter who says, I've never been in military or war. I have PTSD from childhood abuse and trauma from a child suicide. I guess Dr. Lansing, Dr. Steve Lansing, and Dr. Colonel Wayne Quist, co-founders of Veterans Empowered Incorporated. Dr. Lansing, so you are a trauma therapist, so you can get PTSD not necessarily from being in war. Is that right?
Most definitely. In fact, PTSD finally made it as an official diagnosis after looking at the effects of assault victims, childhood sexual abuse, assault, natural disasters, and the like. And so the idea, in fact, I did some work with a residential program years ago, and one of the residents came up and he got the letters, and it's easy to get tangled up, PTSD, PTSD. Came up and he said, I have PTSD. And I said, well, that's not what we're talking about here. He says, but I wasn't in a war. He says, it's PTSD, post-traumatic. There's an event, there's a assessment you can do called ACEs, Adverse Childhood Experiences. And that's one of the things that ties into the kind of trauma that fits the criteria. Childhood sexual abuse fits the criteria A, which is a stressor that's part of the diagnosis. So you don't have to be in war. You don't have to be police or fire. It can happen through a variety of ways with the same outcome.
And again, Colonel Quist mentioned it, but it was actually officially called a disorder in 1980?
Right, with the DSM-3. Before that, they kind of danced around with what the impacts were. But if you go back and you look at the effects, the conditions, symptoms I described earlier, you can see that going back to the beginning of time. But 1980, we finally, by looking at the collective data facts, they said this is what we're going to call it, and it's a diagnosis, it's a medical condition, and it fits the criteria of such.
It's interesting, and to both of you, in my years as being a reporter, I've interviewed World War II veterans. I've had the honor to do that on a couple of different occasions, and so often when they would talk of the war, they would have to stop because their trauma, their memory was so real, they could just not finish. They would cry because of what they saw. And for so many of the World War II vets and the older vets, I think they were sort of taught to come home and be tough and just not talk about it, right?
You know,
yeah,
was, this.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead, Colonel Quist.
This is Wayne Quist, because you hit the nail exactly on the head. That was my case. And you bottle it up and you don't talk about it. You don't tell anyone. And I tell Dr. Steve that he not only saved my life, but he gave me a new life. And that's why it's been so inspirational for me to be able to, for the first time, I'll be 89 in October, and for the first time in so many years, to be able to bring this all out into the open, and then through the three volumes of our book, to take it to other suffering veterans. Because we've had, in the case of the Iran-Iraq wars in the last 25 years, we've had 7,000 combat deaths, but we've had over 300,000 suicides. And our mission is to prevent suicide. So we've driven 30,000 miles around the 12 counties of Rochester in the last 12 months, distributing volume one of our Veterans in Crisis book to suffering veterans and their families and the first responders and to others. Because the impact on PTSD is not just on the veterans. It's on the family as well, and sometimes the extended community. So that's our mission, and that's what we do.
And you have an event coming up, don't you? A couple more before the end of the month? Yeah,
we do. We got a big one on Wednesday in Rochester, and it's at the Soldiers Field Memorial, which is a magnificent veterans memorial in Rochester. And it's an all-day event into the evening for veterans and first responders, and people will find it exceptionally meaningful because the Pentagon has flown in the replica of the Vietnam Wall that has the names inscribed of over 58,000 American veterans, American soldiers, servicemen that were killed during the Vietnam War. And there'll be a book there that'll help people find their loved one or their friend who was killed in Vietnam. And we'll have a table with our books there as well.
Dr. Lansing, the book that you and Colonel Quist wrote together, kind of talk about it. I looked at it a little bit, and it has sort of different quotes in it, different, you know, sort of charts, a lot of good information about the history of it. How, I mean, what is initially do you do with someone who is comes to the table and says, I think I have PTSD?
Well, you know, like with anything, you do a diagnostic assessment, and there's various tools. As a licensed mental health professional, I've got access to a lot of different things that I can use and look at, and we determine what the condition is. And then with therapy, there's a lot of different kinds of trauma therapy, but there's three what's called evidence-based, meaning all the I's were dotted, the T's were crossed, the rats were run, and all that other good stuff. And the three are what's called EMDR, eye movement desensitization reprocessing. That's where you do bilateral stimulation from the emotional to the analytical part of the brain. Cognitive processing therapy, which is what I do, which is taking and not looking at the trauma, but the impact of the trauma, and something called prolonged exposure therapy. And depending on the individual, there's a kind of a decision tree you can use. I don't do EMDR. I know how to do the other two. I'm certified in cognitive processing therapy. I have access to EMDR therapists. And we proceed ahead. Cognitive processing therapy is 12 sessions where we take and we get a better analysis between rational and irrational thoughts and start breaking down, giving people tools to manage the trauma, not just know about the trauma. And it becomes more, it doesn't go away, it's a chronic condition, but it's manageable. Mm. And that's what we teach people in therapy.
We have some text questions coming in. A texter writes at 651-461-9226, does PTSD have a spectrum of degree of severity?
Yes, it does. And when you go back to, in fact, dissociative disorders themselves, or, you know, with trauma, there's dissociation can be on the far left of the spectrum, which is called daydreaming, which we all do. The extreme right is what's called dissociative identity disorder, used to be called multiple personality. But there's levels of intensity, and one of the instruments that I use, looks at mild, moderate, or severe, and that's a categorization that the DSM-5 uses. And there are numeric and also criteria assessments that you do that look at how severe that is. And over time in therapy, we continue to do that assessment to look at what's still going on or what's been dealt with better.
Another texter writes at 651-461-9226, what exactly do you do with those diagnosed with PTSD? Are they referred to you also? Also, please speak about PTSD effects on those close to you.
Ah, good question. Mm-hmm. And, there's a poster that says, when you join the military, and only 5% or less, Minnesota's 4.7% will serve. And you sign a blank check payable to the United States of America up to and including the cost of your life that never goes void. Well, that check has a secondary co-signer. And my wife, who's also a therapist, and I have about six couples we're working with, and there's something called cognitive behavioral conjoint therapy that we're certified in that deals with PTSD, but also the relationship. Mm-hmm. And we've been doing couple counseling for, probably 40 years. And so that's also an area coming into. We're working on a fourth book called The Blank Check that will deal with PTSD and relationships, and we're hoping to have that done by Veterans Day. But that area of trauma is very, very clear. We do therapy to make the trauma manageable.
Mm.
And that's what the whole process is.
Yeah, you can jump in, Colonel Quist, please.
If I could, please.
Yeah.
Please let everyone listening know that there is help, and the help is solid help. They can go into our website, for example, and they'll find information on how to contact us. It's www.vetsempowered.org. And they can get our book on Amazon. They can get our book on our website. They can come into our office, and we'll give them a free book. And the message that we have is that there is help. So many people suffer alone. They don't talk about it. And the family suffers. And what has made the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan even more insidious is that the draft was abolished in 1973. And we formed what is called the All-Volunteer Army, which means we rely on the National Guard. And these people are a little bit older than the typical 18-year-old draftee in the Vietnam era. These people are in the community. They have jobs. Many are married with children. They do a deployment for 13 months. They come back. The family has changed. They have changed. And then they do a second deployment and maybe a third. And then the severe family problem in many cases begin. So our message is there is help out there. Don't suffer alone.
All right. We'll take our final break of the hour. It is 7:47 on WCCO Radio. Good morning. I hope you're having a good day so far. We are under a heat advisory, so please be aware of that today as you go out and about. We'll take a quick break and be back to wrap things up with our guests. And we're back with the final segment of our health show, Head to Toe. I'm Susie Jones. Josh Wheeler is at the helm. Our guests this hour, Colonel Wayne Quist and Dr. Steve Lansing, both co-founders of group Veterans Empowered Incorporated. You can find them at veteransempowered.org. Is that right, Colonel Quist?
Pardon me, Susie, I couldn't understand the question.
Oh, just wondered about the website. We want to make sure people can write that down this morning and go to visit you and see what's online.
It's www.vetempowered.org.
Got it, got it.
Vetempowered.org.
Okay. Well, we have about...
Our book is entitled Veterans in Crisis.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Yes.
Volume 1, Volume 2, and Volume 3.
Well, you had the chance to send me Volume 1, and I had to look. I looked at it, and it's an interesting title and an interesting cover of an old soldier from many, many moons ago. But I want to ask you, Colonel Quist, just to go back for a minute as we look at the situation unfolding in the Middle East again. You mentioned it briefly, but for someone who has PTSD, kind of hearing about new attacks and maybe in a place you were, the Middle East, what does that do to you?
Well, it brings back memories of what happened, and the images are really significant because it can happen to anyone. It's not a sign of weakness. The activities that, and even the heat now, today and yesterday, brought back memories of the oppressive heat that so many of our soldiers have experienced in the last 25 years in the Middle East. 3 million men and women have served in and out of the Middle East since 9/11. And I'm sure that these survivors that are watching television today are brought back to the experiences that they had in their time in service. And if they are suffering, we want them to know that there is help. Please give us a call, stop at our office, go on the website.
Right.
Because help is available.
And Colonel Quist, when you're having a hard time, when it's tough on you, what do you do? Is there something you have sort of a few things that you do in your pocket if it's a rough patch?
Well, we go through this in the book, and one of the things that Steve did for me was when the dissociation, for example, happens, he said, grab an ice cube and do something that shocks the brain, and all of a sudden you're into another focus. And so there are coping mechanisms, tips that are available and that are handy. In my case, the ice cube is perfect.
And it helps on a day like today.
It sure does.
See, you guys, yeah. We have about a minute left, so I want to make sure I don't go over on my time. I'll let Dr. Lansing, if you have any final thoughts, we have less than a minute now.
Well, if you're not quite ready to sit down in an office with somebody like me or another therapist, on our website is a resource tab. And you can click on there. There's something called the National Center for PTSD. In my mind, one of the best sources of information and training and educate, you name it. And click on there. It's a free source. They'll send you stuff for free. They got videos and other training. The best book and the thing I got Colonel Quist started with is a book called The Body Keeps the Score by a man by the name of Bessel van der Kolk. And that, to me, is a good starting point as far as understanding trauma and how it affects the brain.
Well, thank you very much. And Colonel Quist, thank you for your service to both of you and for being part of the show today. I wish we have another question, but this one's maybe they can go to the website. Just how it affects different people. So a person can be in service and have PTSD and the same person wouldn't. And I suppose that might just be mechanics of the body, but they can reach out to the website vetsempowered.org and get more information and find out as well about more events coming up at that one in Rochester all day June 25th. So get out there and pay your respects and get some help. Again, you're not alone. That's the message today. You're not alone. Back after this.